so many wonderful details that we find in our gospel today, accounting our Epiphany story. That we see the call of the Gentiles, the call of the Magi, their enthusiastic response, the significance of the star they were following, the gifts they bring, the dramatic interaction between them and King Herod, their ultimate rejection of Herod in favor of Christ. That we ourselves, we follow a similar journey of these Magi in their journey of faith to become wise men. That as Magi, they follow the faint stars, distant points of light. As wise men, they follow Jesus, who is the ever-glorious, light from light, true God from true God. And we can observe how they journey in stages from the light of a star to the bright, glorious light of Jesus Christ. And of course, to enter authentically and to encounter our Lord is to experience conversion. All the elements of this story ultimately serve to cause them to return to their country by another route. And let's look at this story. Look at the stages of their journey from being merely magi to becoming, by God's grace, wise men. And it starts out that when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." Notice the identity of them, that they're called Magi. They're from the east. And before, if you go and just simply retake the gospel there, it's not exactly clear what Magi are. It doesn't tell us. That they're perhaps ancient learned men, ancient astronomers. That often we like to think of them as kings as well, even though the gospel passage doesn't call them that. That's when we go and recall the Psalms, the psalm that we said today in our for our Mass, our responsorial psalm, talking about east coming, kings from the east coming to give gifts to our Lord, to our God. That their identity here is, though, very key. That they are Gentiles that have been called. That up until this point in the Christmas story, it's been only Jews who have found their way to Bethlehem. That this detail cannot be overlooked. For it's clear that the gospel is no longer meant only for the Jews, but meant for the entire world. That this completes the church, this call of the Magi, that the church needs both Jews and Gentiles. Our second reading from St. Paul goes and rejoices in this fact of St. Paul going and saying, "The Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and co-partners in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel." And most of us are not, by our ancestry, Jewish. So we also ought to rejoice in this fact that the call of these Magi prefigures our call as well. That we also have been called by God to be saved, to be redeemed from our sins. And notice, how has God called these Magi? Through something of the natural world, a star. That God uses something in creation to call out to them. But we do well to wonder, what is that star in our life that God has used or is using to call out to us? That perhaps it's Scripture. But more typically, God is using someone in our life to call out to us in order to reach us. A parent, a family member, a friend, maybe a priest. That there's somebody in our life who are the stars in our lives whom God calls out to us. That God can also use inanimate creation as he did for these Magi. Perhaps it was some magnificent church, some beautiful painting, some inspirational song that has reached out to us. I think of my own father's story of conversion, that he was born a Methodist as an army brat. But when his father was stationed in Spain, my father saw the beautiful churches in Spain, the beautiful Catholic churches, wondered about this beauty of these churches. That eventually led him, after also getting to know my mother, to convert to Catholicism. That these things happen in our lives. Seeing beauty around us can lead us to God. that by something or by someone, God calls each and every one of us. He puts a star in our skies. That these wise men, these magi, followed the call of God, began their journey of faith to Jesus. And upon arriving in Jerusalem, they go and find a rather confusing situation, perhaps a discouraging situation. That the reigning king, King Herod, knows nothing about this birth of the newborn king, this newborn king of the Jews, as Matthew states in the gospel of what the Magi ask. The Magi probably assumed that since this is the newborn king of the Jews, he must be descended of the current king. It's a nice logical assumption there that they might have made. But King Herod is surprised. That his surprise probably confused the wise men. That his surprise is not just there, he also seems threatened. He seems agitated by the fact that they're saying there's this newborn king for the Jewish people. And even more puzzling, then, is that when Herod goes and calls the religious leaders to get more information about this newborn king, and they go and open up the sacred scriptures, open up the prophets, and say that the new promised king, the Messiah, is going to come from Bethlehem, that we don't see these religious leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests, rejoice over the fact that the Magi are saying this king has been born for them. They're unenthusiastic about it. They don't want to follow the Magi to go and see who the Messiah is that they've been waiting for such a long time. They seem very uninterested. That we go and see that the wicked Herod and his court are wakeful, are watching out, are wondering, are agitated about this. While the saints, the religious leaders, are sleepy in this. How odd this must have seemed to the Magi. Perhaps they even thought of maybe of abandoning their search at this point, given what has happened. That after all, the actual king knew nothing of this new king's birth. And those people who did know something about it seemed uninterested. But praise God, the Magi persevered in their search. They did not give up. That to persevere is to open up that door of wisdom, which is often has to be sought in spite of obstacles. That this constancy is often what it takes to overcome the darkness, to discouragements of the world. And so we see they go out from that audience with King Herod to continue to follow that star until it comes and stops over the place where Jesus was. That they're overjoyed to see, enter the house and see Jesus and Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and do him homage. To what little information they have, the Magi set out to continue in that call of God through the star. Then note, it goes and says, they enter a house. That often we think of the Magi as coming that same Christmas night to that cave, to that stable. But it seems not, because Matthew goes and says, they enter a house, after he's already gone and spoken about the birth of Jesus in that stable, in being laid in that manger. That there seems to be a little bit of a time gap in between that Christmas night and now with this epiphany. That Mary and Joseph and Jesus are now in a house. That they've been able to find now decent lodging. That we don't know exactly how long it is, but we go and think, we're 12 days now after Christmas. That this fits, our celebration fits what we see in the gospel. Notice too, the Magi prostrate themselves before Jesus. And the Greek used here in the gospel compared to just our simple word of prostrate is much more beautiful. It gives a much more eloquent description of what is actually they're doing. That it really means to fall down and worship, to give adoration. That this word is only used 12 times in the New Testament. And it's clear that each time it's used in those 12 times is that religious worship is the reason for the prostration. That this is no minor act of homage or sign of respect to an earthly king. This is religious worship of God. This is a confession of faith, that the Magi are manifesting the faith that they now have, that they have been given to them, that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, And these magi are well on their way from being mere magi to becoming those wise men. But if their faith is a real faith, or is it just a perfunctory observance? That's not just simply enough to be baptized, to simply just show up to Mass on Sundays. That faith is never alone. It is also a transformative relationship with Jesus. That there should be effects of a real and saving faith in our lives, in the lives of the Magi. That there is a cost to discipleship, a cost to having faith. And we see that. That the Magi move up in their adoration and give three symbolic gifts to show what true faith includes. That they are costly gifts. They go and give gold to a king, to symbolize all of the possessions of our world. They're laying this gift before Jesus that they say, and we can say also, I acknowledge everything I have is yours. All of the worldly resources, all the worldly possessions I have are under your authority for you to use according to your will. That a conversion that has not reached the wallet is not complete. And then they also go and give frankincense, which is a resin used as incense, symbolizes the gift of worship. That in the Bible, incense is a symbol of prayer and worship of God. That in laying down this gift, the Magi promise to give this worship, this prayer to God. That we also can make that promise to render God praise and worship, adoration and glory, as we have said in the Gloria. That this is what we promise in making this gift, to listen to His word, to be fed by Him in the Eucharist, to make ourselves available to the sacraments frequently. Sundays, the holy days of obligations to Mass, to frequent confession, to praying daily, communicating with our Lord, praying to Him. And then lastly, they go and give the gift of myrrh, which is a strange gift for a baby to receive, because it's a burial ointment, that it's go there to prefigure what Jesus has come into the world to do. That He's going to make that sacrifice of His life for us. Then laying this gift before Jesus, the Magi go and say, and we can say along with them, my life is yours. I want to die to myself so that you might have life in me, that you may increase and I may decrease. To echo those words of St. John the Baptist, the telling our Lord to use me in my life as you will, to build up that kingdom of God that you came to do. That yes, these three gifts are highly symbolic. That the Magi manifested more than a little homage to Jesus, more than a little faith in giving these gifts. They're showing forth the fruits of that saving faith. And if we can give these gifts as well ourselves, so are we. That in their holy reverence for God is wisdom in its initial stage. That when we see them then go and leave, that they're warned in that dream not to return to Herod. So they depart for their country by another route, by another way. That here is that essential evidence of the faith they have. That conversion has happened. That it's not enough to just simply get happy in church. That we have to obey. These wise men now walk differently. They don't go home by the same way that they came. They change direction. They turn around. And they're now willing to walk that straight and narrow way that leads to eternal life, rather than the wide road that leads to hell and damnation. That they're going to obey God, obey that angel in that dream that came to them. They're going to exhibit what St. Paul goes and calls the obedience of faith. That they're not just engaged in perfunctory worship. They're showing signs of that true and saving faith. They're not just calling Jesus Lord, Lord. They're doing what He tells them. That they're no longer simply mere magi. They are now wise men as we know them. That this is the stages of faith that they go through, that we go through as well. that the Lord has brought this to us, to the Gentiles, to conversion, that they remained constant, confessed Jesus to be Lord, accepted the cost of discipleship, manifested conversion, as Epiphany calls us to do. That do we do this as well? Do we walk the ways of the Magi? The wise men sought him. Even wiser ones listen to him and obey him. That do we go back to our country by another route to follow that straight and narrow way? Or do we follow that wide road to damnation? Are we on that journey with the wise men to heaven, to encountering our Lord in that manifestation of the Epiphany? How is our faith made manifest in our deeds and our conversions? Do we follow these wise men? Do we give gifts to our Lord this Christmas?